Well, this morning I also extend Christian greetings to each and every one of you that are here this morning. God bless you for being here and worshiping with us. This morning, as we were sharing on testimony, I almost got up and shared too about the birds this morning. They just kind of stood out to me, sitting right by the window in my study and with the window open. And they were just, seemed like they were having early church service this morning, sunrise service. I mean, they were just singing and praising God. And I had to think, what a lesson for me. What a lesson for the Christian. And God does speak to us through His creation, doesn't He? You know, I thought they're just worshiping the Lord with all their hearts. That's what they were doing. And it was wonderful. Okay, this morning, something I would like to, thought I would share. Out of Psalm 16, a few thoughts out of Psalm 16, a passage there that I've been kind of musing on for some time. And also, we've had a couple weeks ago, we've had Mother's Day, May the 10th, and also in June the 21st is Father's Day. And so I thought I would share what David says, what he said there. In Psalm 16:6, he says, "Yea, I have a goodly heritage." And I've been thinking on this passage for some time, and I thought, well, maybe it's a good time to share on this. I don't know, maybe you're here, maybe you don't, maybe you can't say with David that I have a goodly heritage. Because we're all come from different backgrounds, you know, and our heritage is different. All of us. And maybe you're here and you do have a good heritage. You can say with David, "Yea, I have a goodly heritage," but you fail to really appreciate it like you should. I know that was my case. And if you're here and you didn't have one, a goodly heritage, then I believe it would be God's will that you give one to your children, if God gives you children or has given you children. So that's a little bit what I like to share, and the purpose of a goodly heritage and also the pursuit of a goodly heritage. Like I said about my own, I know I didn't appreciate my heritage at one time, like I should. And I even felt, you know, kind of like it was a hindrance or a disadvantage to me because of maybe the preconceived ideas that I had in my growing up years, its effect on me. The hypocrisy and the form of godliness, life but lacking the power of God. Seeing that. You know, but later I came to appreciate more and more the goodly heritage that I did have. Because, you know, sometimes because of inconsistencies, the lack of the power of God, or just the form of godliness, you know, the pendulum can swing so far to the other side, we react, and we fail to really appreciate the good that was in a goodly heritage. And then it only takes a matter of a couple generations, where there is no revelation of God and His Word and the teaching of God and His Word in your home, you know that it goes the other way. And they have no goodly heritage. Your children, your grandchildren don't. So, I think there is some things in Psalm 16, you know, that speaks of a goodly heritage. And like I said, you know, it doesn't matter what heritage you come from when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It seems like we all bring some kind of junk theology, wrong thinking about God and the Bible to the table with you when you come. But you know, I believe God left us a wonderful example in the book of Acts. What to do with that? And I had to think of the Bereans. You know, it says about the Bereans in Acts chapter 17:11. It says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. And I believe this is God's desire. Rather than react because of some things in your heritage, but you search the scriptures daily like they did, that's God's desire for His children. That we have a desire for the truth, even as the Bereans did. You know, Jesus said to the Jews in His day, there were also people that were religious, but no form of godliness, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said to them, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. You know, so the time came in my life, you know, that I changed a lot in how I look at my heritage. And I'm very thankful to God for the influence of God and the Bible in my life, in my youth, in my growing up years. Which I said at one time, I think I just took it for granted. And I know some things could have been different. Some things could have been different, one, you know, in my home. But I believe in my home, there was a lack of harmony in my home growing up years. My parents, mother went to one church and dad, you know, he went to another one. And so there was, yes, some needs there. But I think there's really needs in all of our homes. You know, but I know I was loved. And the Bible was taught. God was taught. Who God is, the Creator, those are some foundational things that are very good and that are needed in your life for a goodly heritage. And I know if it wasn't for that, and I know that they did have a great restraining influence in my life from keeping me just from wandering further and further into sin and out into the world. I believe it had a great influence in me, the fear of God that was established in my life, in my youth, who God is, had a great influence in me in bringing me to a saving faith in Jesus Christ at age 21. Yes, it was all the grace and mercy of God. So what is a goodly heritage? You know, then I also thought about, you know, you can have a heritage that wasn't good. As the song goes, This sad song puts it this way. Satan has parted fathers and mothers, filling their hearts with envy and hate, heading their pathway down to destruction, leaving their children like orphans to stray. And as another song puts it, this is an older one, and these were usually penned because of some true happenings in their day. It says, "Please, Mommy, please." A mother went out to party. She left at home her baby son, who cried and begged her not to leave him. But she could not give up her fun. She kissed his cheek and tried to soothe him, but could not heed his childish plead. She heard him call as she was leaving, "Please, Mommy, please stay home with me." She joined the band of merrymakers and soon was lost in dazzling fun. The mellow tones and the pleading shadows made her forget her baby son. She laughed and danced and did some drinking. The world for her was full of glee. But now and then these words would haunt her, "Please, Mommy, please stay with me." She left the party feeling dizzy, the smell of whiskey on her breath. She hurried home to find her baby in raging pain and nearing death. The doctor came and looked on sadly. The case was hopeless, he could see. The baby died, these words repeating, "Please, Mommy, please stay home with me." Now, mothers, don't neglect your duty. This story should a lesson be. Do not ignore your baby's pleading, "Please, Mommy, please stay home with me." You know, that's a heritage that some have. Right today, I know of three children that are staying with their step-grandmother because mom and daddy are living that type of life. If they've been in jail a good time of their part of their life, and it's not good. And I just recently talked with another young man in his 20s. He went to live with his foster parents at age 3. Mama would come occasionally and visit him until age 7. Then she disappeared out of his life. And he didn't see her again till she was 18. So he's fighting depression, suicidal thoughts, feels worthless and rejected. You know, that's a heritage we could say is not a good heritage. But we know with God all things are possible. God can change all that. When somebody surrenders their life and gives their lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, He's able to heal all that pain and all those hurts and give you a hope and a future. As He says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I have, that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." You know, he says here, the Lord's thoughts towards you is thoughts of not evil, but of good, to bring you to an expected end. That means to give you a future and a hope and an end. But you know, Satan, Jesus said about the devil, he says he's come but to kill and to destroy. And we see that's what he does, isn't it? He does that in so many homes. Many times the children are affected. But Jesus came to restore and to save. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." So we know your past can't be changed, but God can change your present, and also He can change your future. And I believe that's His will and desire to do so. So if you're here this morning, maybe if you're only a first-generation Christian, I believe God's will is that you provide a goodly heritage for your children, for your offspring. And the same is for the second and the third generation Christian. And on and on. And if you're here and you are, you know, for generations, your parents feared God, they trusted the Lord, and they were believers, and you have a goodly heritage, then I'm here to tell you, don't take it for granted. Be thankful for it. Because not everybody has that. All you have to do is go out of your little zone for a little bit, and you'll soon find that out. You know, all the difference makes is what? God's Word. That's what makes the difference. God and His Word makes the difference. Okay, Psalm 16. Verse 1, I'll just read the whole chapter, make a few comments. Maybe I'll just make some comments as we read. Verse 1 and then go on. He says, "Preserve me, O God, for indeed do I put my trust." You know, the first one is here is prayer, we see here. Prayer to God. If you have a goodly heritage, I think your parents taught you how to pray in your youth. You know, it's one of the first things. I remember in my life, you know, I don't know how old I was, but as young as I can remember, before we went to bed, Mama would gather all the little children around her knees and they would say their evening prayer. Then we'd go off to bed. It might have been a repetitious prayer, kind of like we heard this morning. But I think God heard those prayers. And you know, I still remember it today. And I know of one person that said, I mean, his mother was a Christian, but his dad wasn't a Christian, so he wasn't either. He ended up being an atheist. He didn't believe in God. But he remembered this prayer that his mother taught him when he was a youth. Just like that. Young. That is the Lord's Prayer. That's a good prayer to teach them. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And just as it on goes. That's the only prayer he remembered. One day he faced death straight in the face. And as he lay there and he knew he was going to die, he faced eternity. And all at once, he didn't know what was on the other side. What happened? He thought of his mother. And he thought, how do I pray? How can I? I don't even know how to pray. But he said that old prayer came back to him that his mother taught him. And he wasn't even sure how it went anymore. But he said, I remember this. Forgive us our debts. Oh, it didn't finish there. It also said, forgive us our debtors as we forgive, as you forgive us. Then he was pleading for forgiveness, but that was on the end of that. And he There was a couple of people he really held a grudge to. He was upset at them. He was mad at them. And you know, he had to release them before he could continue to pray for God's forgiveness. Just by learning the Lord's Prayer in his youth. But you know, when he came to that place, he says, "Yes, I'll forgive them, Lord." He says, "And you forgive me." He said, immediately, peace came into his heart. You know, prayer. The first thing for a goodly heritage. He says, "O God, for in thee do I put my trust." It's a right understanding of who God is. And it says, "O God," well, who is God? You know, there's so many gods out, even in this time. In David's time, they were worshiping, you know, idols of stone and wood. But David had a right understanding of who God is. He had a wrong understanding. And why? I believe it's because his parents taught him who God was. He is the one that created the world, the whole world by his mighty power. He's not just a puny God like we imagine him to be. People say, you know, well, you know, they don't believe God created the world in 6 days. Well, if God is God, why couldn't he? Is that a problem? You know, we try to bring God down to our level of understanding. No, God is past finding out. We know portions, and I believe it's a lifelong experience of continuing to know God. And God gave us this revelation of himself, of the creation. It's very important, I believe, to teach our children that, who God is. And that he's a God that can be trusted. Jesus never fails. He says here, "For in thee do I put my trust." You know, that's a good thing. How much my faith was in my childhood, I'm not really that sure. I'm sure it could have been more. Verse 2. You know, and a right understanding of who God is does something else. It puts the fear of God in you. Because you know he's a holy God. He's a just God. He's a righteous God. And we know that he will return again. All these are some foundational things that I think we're taught here. I think we'll just all stand to our feet for a couple minutes so I don't lose you. Okay? Then in verse 2 he says, "O my God, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my God. My goodness extendeth not to thee." You know, verse 2, he says, "Thou art my God." You know, you're not just my father's God, my grandpa's God, but I made you my God. You know, you've come to that place in your life now where you voluntarily submit yourself and give yourself under his control and his government in your life. He says, "Thou art my God." I make that choice to voluntarily serve you. You know, that is very important. And I don't know where that happened in your life. You know, maybe you were young when you did that. Praise God if you did. I know some of you did. And I know some of you were older. You know, we're thankful that God does hear whoever comes to him and whatever age you were. But I believe it's God's will that you come, you know, when you hear his voice speaking to your heart. It's not just a certain age bracket, but when you hear God's voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, but yield your heart to him that you can say, "Thou art my God." Okay, you may be seated. Then he says, continues, "My goodness extendeth not to thee." Seems like it's a right understanding here of my goodness, what it is. that really means in the Hebrew, it says, my goodness is nothing apart from you. My goodness is nothing apart from you. You know, the Pharisee that we talked this morning about in Sunday school lessons, you know, the Pharisee and the publican speaking there in the temple praying, it seemed like the Pharisee lost sight of that, didn't he? Where his goodness really was. That it was nothing apart from God. The publican, he stood there and he prayed, and obviously he didn't have any goodness, so he didn't really have anything to claim onto, to latch onto. So, you know, he just prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But the other one prayed, you know, he thought his goodness merited him something. But here he's, David says, this means, outside of, apart from you, my goodness is nothing. You know, and to realize that. Otherwise, we become just kind of like pharisaical, and we begin to look down our noses at others. Maybe that aren't like you, like I am. No. You know, if you read the Ten Commandments and you begin to understand what the Ten Commandments go, you don't have to go down there very far in the Ten Commandments until you have to acknowledge, yea, I have sinned. I have sinned. And am in need of God's mercy and in need of God's grace. And I know in my background, I wasn't clear on this. But you know, when I became a Christian, I searching the Scriptures, I mean, this became very clear to me. Outside of God's, apart from God, my goodness is nothing. And we all need His mercy and grace. Verse 3, but to the saints that are in the earth. Now, who is that? But to the saints that are on the earth. We call it today what? Maybe we should call, are you a saint? Yes, if you've been born again of God and you're His child, you're one of the saints. Okay? To the saints that are in the earth. And to the excellent, whom is all thy delight. You know, that's the church to me. Speaks of the church. And I think as parents, it's good to have our children involved in the church. We come to church. We go to church. It's not something we just do, you know, every now and then. It's a very part of my life. Our life. I believe if you want to bring this into a goodly heritage to your next generation, this has to be also, you have something you need to consider. Otherwise, we become kind of independent. We don't need anybody. You know, but in the church, that's where the one anothering begins. Helping one another, loving one another. Submitting one to another. You know, and that was, in my growing up years, we went to church once a week. We didn't have Wednesday night services. So, in a goodly heritage, I think this needs to be involved in your life, the church. Amen? I think so, because that's what it says here. The saints that are in the earth. Verse 4, their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after other gods. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Verse 4 out of Psalm 16. You know, this is an understanding of the consequences of sin. The sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after other gods. The first commandment is, thou shalt not have no other gods before me. So he's saying, you know, if you turn from the true God, the living God, and Jesus Christ, and you go after other gods, he says here, their sorrow shall be multiplied. A right understanding of the consequences of sin. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. and sin has consequences. Seems like, we live in a generation today that they don't really know that. Seems they don't understand that. We can go out and have our fling and everything will come out right. You know, when you sow a bunch of weed seeds in your garden, what are you going to get? That's right, weeds. Something you don't want in your garden. But if you plant good seed, you know you're going to expect good fruit. The consequences of our actions and the choices we make in life is very important. And I had an element of that understanding in my life. That was probably one thing that put the fear of God in me a little bit more and was kind of a restraint that I didn't just go out and do quite everything I wanted to do. I mean, it was all sin, I know, but you know, the fear of God does have a restraining effect on your life. Even on a rebellious child, it does. The fear of God. Because He knows that this won't come out right if I continue this way. That's why it's so important to have the fear of God established in your heart and your youth. And that is what makes a goodly heritage. And see, these are all from God. These are all gifts from God that He wants to give you. Not something we drummed up from ourselves. That's my idea or our church's idea. This is what God says. This is what David, I believe, experienced in his life. Some of these things, that's why he could say, I have a goodly heritage. You know, the faith and the trust that he had when he was out there herding the sheep. When the lion and the bear came at him, you know, a trust in God that God will take care of him. Maybe that's what his mama was assuring him of when he was out there the first night and he was kind of afraid. A little bit afraid. Well, son, God will be with you. He'll help you. You know, if you're not sure, just pray to him, talk to him. He'll help you. Sure enough. He went out there. He found it to be true. And verse 5 and 6. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen upon me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage, he says. The Lord is my inheritance. You know, like we heard this morning, I'm not sure, was it Woolard that read about Peter? You know, when everybody left Jesus asked him, Peter, you know, his disciples, will you also go? Where shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life, you know. He's my inheritance. If I have nothing else, if I have the Lord, that's something nobody can take away from you, is the Lord. And he's aware of this. He says, he is the portion of my inheritance. I think it was his choice, his decision. That was what he wanted. 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. You know, this is an effect of the Word of God in the heart of your children. This is worship. This speaks of worship. I will bless the Lord. That is worship. It says, who has given me counsel. My reins also will instruct me in the night season. Your conscience, because of the Word of God being taught to you, you know, in the night seasons, that's when you're laying in bed. That's when you might have faced a temptation. That's maybe when you're at a crossroads in your life. And you want to go either to the right or to the left. And you're faced with that temptation. And maybe that's where you're in a trial. But then the Word of God speaks to you during that time in the stillness of the night. Again, from God's Word. You know, and as you teach the Word of God to your children, this can be their heritage, guidance for their future. And there's many decisions in a man and a woman's life, and you need that direction. Someday when they're not in under your roof and they're gone, you want this still to be a part of their life, don't you? My conscience will instruct me in the night seasons. When something is heavy laying upon you, you need direction. That's when God's Word, when they're acquainted with the Word of God, you know, they won't just go the wrong way. Even just think what would happen if the correct teaching would be given about marriage and the right about remarriage and divorce and remarriage. Excuse me. You know, those things are well thought through before they ever are acted out. That's when the Word of God is so important. That it will instruct you in the night seasons. Your conscience, God will teach you. Verse 8, I've set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. He's at my right hand. A continual awareness of God's presence in your life. Where can I go that He is not with me? It doesn't matter where you go. You know God is there with you. Even if you go into places where you shouldn't be, and it's not like, well, I can be here. No, you know God. You're aware of His presence. That's a very good thing for a child to know, even in his youth. Yes, it is, my friend. My beloved. Being aware of God's presence. I've set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. He says, I shall not be moved. You know, this is a very positive thing too. You know, this is a place where you just won't be moved away from either right away. Because there's a great assurance and a great comfort in knowing this. As David says in Psalms 23, Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And speaks of a commitment to Him. God is everywhere, beholding the evil and the good. This should bring a security into your life, and it will. And a commitment. I shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. It says, therefore is my heart glad. Because of knowing that, it brings gladness to his heart. Speaks here of gladness, joy, and hope. You know, that's definitely an ingredient that I think every person wants, isn't it? Gladness and joy and happiness. But so many of us and so many people are looking for it in the wrong places. You know, it's not in booze. It's not in having a gay, wild time and partying. Those things all leave you empty and dry. Seems like He knows where the source of this gladness comes from. And His joy. And His hope. It comes from God. Again, it's not something, you know, the only thing your parents can do is lead you to the source. Tell you about it. Then it's up to you if you want to receive it or not. They can show you the way. The source of true happiness and joy. I know when I was 21 and I gave my heart to the Lord, I thought, you know, this is really what I've been looking for all my life. And I had never expected to find it in Jesus. You know, I associate kind of Jesus with real spiritual, religious people, you know, that walked around with sad faces. Kind of that way. That was a little bit my mentality. But how wrong I was. You know, when I gave my life to Jesus, that's when I found out what the real joy was, the real peace, the real contentment was in Christ. And I know, you know, He says, I will lead you out into green pastures. He wants you to continually be feeding on Him like Willard shared this morning, so that peace and that joy and that happiness can continually be there. Check in the book of Acts. You find there, I mean, it just doesn't say that the Christians had some joy. I've been many times challenged when I read that. It says there was great rejoicing. There was great joy. And maybe that's why the world isn't more attracted to the church, to the believers, is because, you know, there's something missing. And that is joy, and I speak that to myself. Gladness and joy. And it says hope. My flesh shall rest in hope. You know, there's hope that goes beyond this life. Verse 10, for thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. Yeah, verse 9 is connected with verse 10. My flesh shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And in the Hebrew, that means in the grave. You know, you understand that there's going to be a resurrection. A resurrection. Well, what happens, you know, when a person dies? Mary and Martha, you know, they kind of thought, you know, when Lazarus died, Lord, we know that when, you know, he will be raised again. You know, they had that. Somebody taught them that. The resurrection is coming. People don't just die and kind of disappear and maybe come back in some other kind of animal or something like that. That is a false philosophy from the devil, from the pit of hell. You know, people will be resurrected again. Some to the resurrection of life, some to damnation. That's what God's Word says. And it's good to have a good understanding of that. You know, yes, in your youth. For a goodly heritage. Because, you know, the sad thing about it is, Brother Willard attended a funeral this week. The young and the old both die. 100% of the people that are born, 100% of them die. You know? But to the Christian, it's like, hey, I'm going home. I'm going to be with the Lord. There's joy. There's hope there. But if you're not a Christian, you can't claim that. And what it is it because of me? No, it's because of Him. But it's because, and it's all revealed and given in His Word. And these are things that it's good for you, you know, to teach your children. I think this is in here. It's what makes for a goodly heritage. You know, I had somewhat an understanding of that, but my understanding was kind of you do the best you can all your life and you hope that it'll come out right. That type of hope, no, that's not what it's talking about. Hope speaks about an expectation that is both sure and steadfast. And you know because you've been born again, you're a child of the King, you're His child, and your hope is alive because of that. It's not just a dead, wishful thinking. Ten. Yeah. Right understanding of the resurrection. It says, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Well, there's a prophecy of Jesus Christ. You know, He died, but His body didn't see corruption. Verse 11. Then He says, thou wilt show me the path of life, the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Pleasures evermore. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. You know, I think if you're born again, you know what it is to have the presence of God in your life. You know, sometimes it's more than other times. But God does not want you to go by any kind of feelings. The just shall walk by faith. But it's a blessing. You know, in the presence of God is fullness of joy. And that is where He wants you to find your fulfillment and in your joy. I think this gives purpose and direction for your life. You know, and this I didn't know until I was born again. The reality of the Christian experience, His presence in your life. You know, not just pretense. It says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Not just pretense. Not hypocrisy, just pretending. But in His presence. And with that are pleasures evermore. And not the temporal pleasures either. The temporal pleasures that Moses says he refused and rejected in Egypt. Because he knew that they were just but for a season. So he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to be partakers of that kind of pleasure. Yes, the world has some sort of pleasures, but they're very fleeting and they're very temporal. And the proverb says, even in laughter, the proverb writer says, even in laughter, there is sorrow. You know, with the temporal pleasures of this world, that's kind of what the type of pleasures you have. Not that continual inner abiding joy. Not the one that the world has to offer. But these are lasting ones that come from knowing and walking with God. I need to move on. It says, just thinking a little bit about the purpose. The purpose of a goodly heritage. You know, that's not an end in itself. It's not just something so you can have a goodly heritage. And that's where it all ends. You know what it is? In Psalm 78, 1-7, David says this, give ear, O my people, or God says this, give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, I will utter dark sayings of old, which you have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. See how the steps in the generation go there? Our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, His strength, His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. The purpose right here, that the generation to come might know them. Even the children who should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. The purpose again, that they might set their hope in God and not forget God. God, not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments.
Mark, what was that last reference?
Psalm 78, 1-7. You know, that is God's heart. But you know, as I read this, I thought, well, why isn't this more happening? That the future children, you know, and the next one might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. And by this, you know, I had to think of what I read one time in the paper, and I think I did share it one time, but it just fits in with this message, so I'll read it again. Why is not, don't we see this more in America, in Christendom in America? And this was an article that was in the paper. It says, Last Generation Christian by Josh McDowell, what he calls it, in his new book. Only one third of teenagers who are part of the church say it will be a part of their lives in the future. That's 33%. Only 33%. That don't sound too good. According to the pollster George Barna, 63% do not believe Jesus is the Son of God. Well, they haven't been, you know, some reason, not getting the right information. 63% don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. 3/5 believe all faiths teach equal valid truth. A stunning 51% do not believe Jesus rose from the dead. 2/3 don't believe that Satan or the Holy Spirit are real. The consequences of this lack of faith are shocking. Christian youth are just as likely as non-Christian youth to have lied or to a parent. 93% each. You know, of course, I read this and I think, well, these people, they just have the profession. You know, the title, our parents went to church, so we, you know, by that, they call themselves Christian. I don't think they're born again. But, you know, yet, we can glean something here. What's going wrong? What's going wrong? I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's kind of long. And he says, he asks the question here to himself. What is going wrong? Why? You know, is it because of the media? You know, the influence of the media and all that? And just the free sex ads and everything like that that is in our society today? It says, however, no. The truth is even more hopeful and yet more painful. How would the typical church teen answer this question? Who or what is molding and shaping your attitudes and actions? What is molding, shaping your attitudes and actions? Fully 78% say, it's my parents, reports Barna. They have 3 times the influence of youth leaders do, church youth leaders. Clearly, however, parents are failing to communicate their professed values. Why? Teenagers are only mirroring adult attitudes, 96% of whom do not reflect the attitudes or actions of Jesus. And they're not leaving the faith we profess. You know? So it's, you know, it kind of comes back to the parents. You know, are we leaving a goodly heritage for our children? So the purpose for a goodly heritage is so we might set our hope in God. We might have purpose and direction for your life in the next generations. There was one verse in Romans 3 that kind of caught my attention. He says, Paul says to the Jews, he says, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there in circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. That means, well, very much advantage is the Jew. Because to them was committed the sayings of God. You know, the revelation that came from heaven to a people. It was committed to them. And wasn't that committed to you and me too? Yes. You know, so you have a goodly heritage. You have it because the sayings of God are committed to you. And that's worth a lot. What are we doing with it? We can see this in the example of Timothy. When Paul says to him, he says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. But he doesn't stop there. He says that first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that is in thee also. You know, here Timothy's father was a Greek. It doesn't say anything whether he was a believer or not. But we do see that,
hey,
here was an unbelieving father, I guess, but Timothy. So this should give, I think, hope to you mothers. Maybe you don't have a father in your home. Here was a grandmother and a mother and her children. You know, the faith was in them and it affected their next generation. So, you know, that's no excuse, you know, if the father isn't in the home. I think this should give you hope and comfort in that. Should be an encouragement to single mothers. You know, the purpose, I see it is a seedbed for great potential for good for the kingdom of God. Just for an example, think of Hudson Taylor. He came out of a Christian family. You know, where he heard the word of God, prayer, missionaries. He was the one that went, started the inland missions in China, out of a Christian home. See what I'm saying? A good heritage is a seedbed for great potential for the kingdom of God. So let's not just chuck it out the back door, but let's, and it's a gift from God. And let's appreciate it and give these teachings continually on, these sayings that come from God on to our children. Hudson Taylor was one missionary to China. On Wednesday evening, we had a biography on David Livingston. He was a missionary to Africa. Very interesting. Brother Abe had that. I really appreciated that. I mean, the things he went through, and first, I think it was the first white missionary to Africa. He was also from a godly home. He had a goodly heritage. See how the potential worked? I mean, it flourished, didn't it? It came out. And then we have another one, Charles and John Wesley. They also came from out of goodly heritage. George and Lawrence Bronk, the revival preachers here in America. These also came from Psalm 16 that I just went through. Goodly heritage. See, that's the purpose of it. It's not just an end itself, but it's for God's kingdom and His glory. And the pursuit of a goodly heritage, I think I'll just stop right there. As it's time to close, I just pray I might give an inspiration for us to press on. I'll just mention these, thinking of a goodly heritage, these songs that we sang about Daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands fully, silently in prayer, reaching out to hold me when I had a nightmare. You could read quite a story in the callousness and lines. Years of work and worry had left their marks behind. I remember Daddy's hands, how they held my mama tight. They patted my back for doing something done right. These are things that I've forgotten, that I loved about the men, but I'll always remember the love in my daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands were gentle, but I always came to understand there's always love in daddy's hands. I remember daddy's hands, how they held his Bible near, reading to the family. Those times were so dear. With tears in his eyes, he would ask us all to kneel. Times in life can change, but memories never will. The next one, thank you, Mama, for praying for me. Somebody somewhere was praying that night when Jesus came and I saw the light. It must have been Mama. I heard her before. as she knelt by her bedside, her tears touched the floor. Thank you, Mama, for praying for me. If you had not prayed, then where would I be? They call you old-fashioned, but you love the Lord. Your prayers touched the Master as your tears touched the floor. She held to the altar and wouldn't give in. Perseverance, like we heard this morning. Till she knew all her children had been born again. Just an old-fashioned mama, but she loved the Lord. And her prayers touched the Master as her tears touched the floor. Thinking of a goodly heritage, that certainly comes from one. God bless.